broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founders is one of the great ways to reject revolution but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Normally, I do a recap of Friday's broadcast. We're going to skip that. We also normally have our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on the radio. We're going to skip that. You say, why on earth would you do all those things? Because we've had a lot going on over the weekend, folks. The news has really hit center stage. The media is in lockstep with one another, with a few outliers telling the truth, but the rest literally marching to the drumbeat of a talking point narrative, to say the least. We'll break it all down just for you. Now, I, Sam Bushman, am your host. I'm going to go with an incredible monologue at first. I say incredible because it really, well, brings the discussion to a completely different, out-of-the-box, but I believe relevant historical reality. That's what I'm talking about. Everybody else is going to drill into the details of what happened over the weekend. Everybody's going to, you know, run around and play the blame game on this and that. Everybody's right, but everybody else is wrong. And, well, the blame game seems to be the order of the day. Now, I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a bigger picture that we all need to be wise enough, humble enough, to step back and discuss. Now, a lot of people are going to say, Sam, you're just afraid. When push comes to shove, Sam, you're just not willing to get in and get grit and fight like the rest of us for our people, or this or that, or whatever the case may be. Our people could be any side of this battle, this debate, this issue, this whatever you want to call it. But I submit to you that I'm not afraid of anything. I submit to you that I want to press the reset button on the whole discussion. I believe we're so deceived on this issue. It's kind of like we're not able to see the forest through the trees. We're so down on the ground in the nitty-gritty details that we're not able to really view things as ought be. That's just my humble opinion. And so I'm going to try to set the reset button on this debate, and I'm going to do so biblically. You say, Sam, come on, Christianity, don't go Christian on me here. You know what? There's no other way to look at reality except through the Christian lenses of our founding fathers, through the Christian lenses of the viewpoints that made America great. Okay? America cannot be, will not be, never can be, at least honestly, separated from our Christian heritage, our godly heritage. All right, keep that in mind. So I don't care if you share my Christian faith or not. I don't care if you're of a different denomination than me. I don't care. None of that matters, folks. I'm going to point out things as they really are. Remember, this is a reality-based discussion. Reality is things as they really are. You got it? That's what reality is. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter their own little perspective or their own little picture. Reality is things as they really are. All right? And let me tell you how things really are. You say, well, Sam, that's great. You seem to have the narrative that tells things as they really are. Nobody else does, Sam. Uh-huh. That's right. Everybody else could tell the same story if they were willing, if they were humble enough, if they were willing to step back and look at the big picture. Why do I say I'm the one willing to do that and others aren't? Because I'm willing to look at biblical history. I'm willing to look at things as they really are from beyond this, quote, world picture. I'm not looking at events of this weekend in specific for my discussion. I'm not even looking at since our founders created the greatest country on the face of the earth as my starting point. I'm not even talking about when Adam and Eve ate the apple starting point. I'm talking about a biblical reality that is beyond this world in terms of discussion. Now, pay attention to my headline, because I think that sets the whole stage, the whole narrative for my discussion. And I submit to you that we, the people, need to first take back the narrative from all of our enemies. I'm going to say that again. We, the people, need to take back the narrative from those who are our enemies. And I'm going to submit a word to the enemy phrase, who are our eternal enemies. Here's my headline to start off this discussion. The war that was waged in heaven continues. And the best part, we are winning. I'm going to say that headline a couple of times because I want you guys to understand what that single headline sets the stage for. It sets the stage for a real discussion about the problems, about the real solutions, about the cause. Understanding that the effects are so easy to talk about, but the root, the cause, and then the solutions are very hard for folks to get their arms around. And that's what I mean by stepping back and taking a big picture view here. And by the way, the reason that I say I'm right isn't because I'm right. I just happen to tap into what I know to be right for sure. See, it's not a matter of if Sam's right or you're right, or it's a matter of what's right. And who determines what's right? And the answer is the author of liberty. Why do I take the biblical example as my text, if you will? Because I believe that's what set our founding fathers to create the freest country on the face of the earth. That's why. And I believe that's where we ought look for answers to the problems of our day. That's where I think we ought look for solutions. The war that was waged in heaven continues, and the best part, we are winning. That's right. I'm going to say it one more time. The war that was waged in heaven continues, and we are winning. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear. There are two primary powers on the earth. And in the midst of the inhabitants of the earth, the power of God and the power of the devil. You got it? This war is that symbol of a battle line discussion. Jesus Christ and Satan are polar opposites. You and I, in other words, the inhabitants of the earth, are in the middle. The only question left is, which do you enlisteth to obey? Right? Now you could say, Sam, don't go religious on me. Come on. It's great with your philosophy talk, but come on. We're in the streets and people are getting hurt and beat up. And come on, Sam, you got to get rid of your philosophical discussions and you got to step into the real fray, the real issues happening here and today. We don't have time for your philosophical garbage, Sam. And I got a question for you. Who is on the Lord's side? Who? Now is the time to show. You think I'm backing away from the discussion, from the battle, from the trenches? I don't think so. I think we need to have real perspective based on the author of liberty, God's law, God's guidance. And that's where we need to stand. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, in this work, there must be commitment. There must be devotion. Understand that we are engaged in a great eternal struggle that concerns the very souls of the sons and daughters of God who we are. Let me say that again. We're talking about an epic struggle that requires commitment relating to the sons and daughters of God. So now I'm talking about an eternal war in heaven. I'm talking about our godly heritage. And I'm talking about there's two primary forces on the earth. That is the force of Satan and the force of God Almighty. And who's on the Lord's side? Who now is the time to show? There are two powers on this earth, God and Satan. Who will you enlisteth to obey? I submit to you, we are not losing, we are winning. We will continue to win if we be faithful and true to that God that gave us life and liberty. We can do it, ladies and gentlemen. We must do it. And I submit to you that we will do it. There's nothing that the Lord God Almighty has asked us that if in faith we cannot accomplish with his help. The war goes on, ladies and gentlemen. It is waged over the issues of agency and compulsion. Got it? It is waged by an army of missionaries over the issues of truth and error. It is waged in our own personal lives, day in and day out, in our homes, in our work, in our school associations. It is waged over questions of love and respect, of loyalty and fidelity, of obedience and integrity. We are all involved in it, ladies and gentlemen, and you will not escape it. Which side are you on? Many of you have heard me talk about my vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, I'm Sam Bushman. My monologue continues. It's entitled, The War That Was Waged in Heaven Continues, and I submit to you that we are winning. All right, it's waged across the world over agency and compulsion. There's nothing the Lord has asked us that if we have faith we cannot accomplish. It is waged by army of missionaries over the issues of truth and error. It is waged in our own lives, day in and day out, in our lives, in our homes, in our work, in our schools, in our associations. It is waged over questions of love and respect, of loyalty and fidelity, of obedience and integrity. We are all involved in it, ladies and gentlemen. Every one of us, you cannot escape it. Each of us, ladies and gentlemen, are involved. And I submit to you, the followers of Christ are winning. Ladies and gentlemen, the future has never looked brighter. May we be faithful. May we be valiant. May we have the courage to be true to the trust God has placed in each of us. May we be unafraid. For to quote the words of Paul to Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, even Jesus Christ. Now, with that monologue in mind, the war that was waged in heaven continues, and we are winning. I submit that's the reality that we face, folks. And I submit to you that every one of these discussions that you pick, whether it's this weekend events, whether it's Ammon Bundy, whether it's, you know, Randy Weaver, whether it's, you know, Waco, whether it's tax issues, all these are nothing but battles or skirmishes within this eternal war between truth and error, right and wrong, good and bad, agency and compulsion. It goes on. And it's not going to end anytime soon either. We're in the middle of it. It's a war that's been eternally waged by the enemy of righteousness, Satan himself. And I submit to you that the battle lines are very clear. There are two powers on the earth. That is the power of God and the power of Satan. We're in the middle, and which will you enlisteth to obey? Who's on the Lord's time? Who's on the Lord's side? Who? Now is the time for us to show. Now, I bring all that up, and somebody would say, well, Sam, that's just too couched in, you know, philosophy. Look, the book of Revelations in the Bible describes these battles, describes this war in heaven. And you know what? All Christians understand, regardless of your denomination, this idea that there are two powers, God and Satan, and we're in the middle. God is the author of liberty. Satan is the author of tyranny. All right? But I submit to you that we need to have the courage to be true to the trust God has placed in us. Now, Jesus Christ, in my humble opinion, the author of liberty, had the ultimate violence committed against him. They literally put crowns on his head. He bled from every pore. He was put on a cross and literally murdered. And his response is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I submit to you that we need to have the same attitude as the Prince of Peace taught us by example. We need to ask ourselves, how can we forgive others? How can we pray for guidance? And then how can we repent ourselves and make sure we're not part of the problem? I want to focus on the problems at their root cause. And then I want to focus on solutions as the broadcast unfolds today. We've literally suspended all programming for a 2-hour breakdown of what's going on in this battle and other battles, but the solution is the same for every one of them. It doesn't matter the latest narrative, the latest details, where it occurs, who was involved. None of those things matter because the cause is the same. And the response and the solutions ought to be, well, I should say the response ought to be the same. The solutions are, again, the same. What is the problem? I submit to you that Satan has created a massive psyop against the people. And even the good guys, many times, even the Christians, are deceived into what their response ought to be. Operation Divide and Destroy is heavily underway, backed by Satan and his minions and deceived Christians who are unwittingly part of the scheme. All right? Their goal, meaning Satan's goal, is to divide on every fault line possible. All right? Their goal is to divide in an effort to conquer. All right? It's Satan-backed focus on division. The goal, ladies and gentlemen, is to separate us from our God, to separate us from our godly heritage and our history. I'm going to say that again. The goal is to separate us from our God. The goal is to separate us from our godly heritage and history. First, it's wise to note we are all the sons and daughters of God. All right, now, in these battles, more than one, by the way, in this epic, eternally waged war that started in heaven and continues today, in this epic battle between God, the author of liberty and freedom and safety and stability and honor and morality and etc., and Satan, the author of death and destruction and misery and tyranny and compulsion and anger and hate and destruction, are we the people, the sons and daughters of God? So our godly heritage said, whose side, who should we be on? We should be on God's side. But many, unintentionally, are on the wrong side. They take part in this massive psyop of Satan to be involved in this operation, divide and destroy. Okay, they end up falling for every fault line possible. And even though they mean well, even though many of them are in, quote, righteous indignation, and in some ways justly so because they're right. But oftentimes it's not about who's right, it's about what's right. And what's right is to understand this war in heaven is epic, it's eternal, and it's not ending anytime soon. And we, the followers of the Prince of Peace, need to lead with that idea. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't fight back with anger and hatred. He fought back with humility. I shouldn't even use the word fought back. He led by the example of humility, honor, integrity, sacrifice, forgiveness. When the Savior Jesus Christ, our Master, was on the cross, literally about to give up the ghost, as biblically stated, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was forgiving while he was in the act of prayer. Now, he's the only one that doesn't need the third principle I'm speaking of today, which is repentance. We need to forgive as the Savior forgives. We need to pray as the Savior prayed, and we need to repent. He didn't need repentance, but we do. That's all he's asked us to do, is repent and follow him. Now, in this all sides lose plan that Satan has, this epic divide and conquer plan, this operation divide and destroy with a goal of dividing on every fault line possible, nobody wins. It's exactly what Satan wants. No one wins. Okay? And all sides believe they're right. And I believe that, you know what? Many people genuinely believe that their cause is just, that they are right. But again, it's not a matter of who's right, it's a matter of what's right. We might have the right intent, purpose. We might have the wrong response to, in righteous indignation, defend that, quote, right position. In other words, we might be right, but be wrong. That would be perfect for Satan's plan, right? Have the followers of God just go after what they absolutely believe to be right, but maybe have the wrong answer, the wrong way to go about it. And in reality, then they're still wrong. My goal is not to call everybody wrong. My goal is not to say I'm right and you're all wrong. My goal is to ask the humble question, what is right? And how do we go about that? Now, why do I say all this? Because I look at the words used in the media, and I look at the words used every time there's a battle like this. I don't care if it's the riots of the 60s. I don't care if it's this weekend. I don't care if it's Randy Weaver. I don't care if it's Ammon Bundy. I don't care if it's who knows who, right? World War II, the Vietnam War, the Korean War, the battle between North and South Korea, there's battles everywhere. Some are waged by governments. Some are waged by individuals. Some are by neighborhoods. It doesn't end. How do we make it end? We can't. Get used to it. What should we be doing is the only question, right?
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Many in the media are continuing to play down or ignore the North Korean threat. They're doing so, some say, to criticize President Trump for his fiery rhetoric against that rogue country. Now, President Obama's former national security advisor is upping the ante. She's decided to defend the dictator and has stated that President Trump needs to accept North Korea as a nuclear power. She apparently wants to continue the former approach of, as some say, placating dictators. The president is declaring an increasing scare, the scary fact that more opioids are being used by the population, and he's calling it a national emergency that must be addressed by the federal government. He's pledged to spend, quote, a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of money on the opioid crisis. Last year, more people in the U.S. died from opioid use than were killed during the entire Vietnam War. The death rate is now an astonishing 142 people a day in this country dying from opioids. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
We taught you skip stones.
My dad.
Family. Isn't it about time?
He must be good.
Yeah, my mom taught him.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, never forget the headline of my monologue today. The war that was eternally waged in heaven continues, and most importantly, do not lose sight of the fact that we are winning. All right, there's two powers on the earth, and in the midst of them are the sons and daughters of God. That points out our godly heritage. There's God's power of liberty and freedom and safety and stability and Satan's plan of destruction and tyranny and compulsion. But I submit to you that we are not losing. We are winning, and we will continue to win as long as we be faithful to the author of liberty, that is Jesus Christ. We can do it. We must do it. We will do it. There's nothing the Lord has asked us that if in faith we cannot accomplish, folks. All right? This war continues. And may we be faithful. May we be valiant in the testimony of Jesus Christ and living our lives, doing our best to model after the Prince of Peace, to receive his image in our countenance, if you will. May we have the courage to be true to the trust God has placed in each of us. All right? Now, Satan's great plan is Operation Divide and Destroy. It's been going on for literally centuries, whether it's the Muslims and the Christians, whether it's the blacks and the whites, whether it's the, you know, ugly and the beautiful, the tall, the short, the fat, the skinny, the white, the black, the doesn't matter, male, the female, they want to divide on every fault line possible. They even are now starting to say, you know what, Christians need to battle the, quote, white supremacists. What am I talking about? I'm talking about all the words used in this battle, and I submit to you they're using all the wrong words. All the words serve to divide, to destroy, to ratchet up tensions, to increase the anger, the hate, the vitriol. For example, you got divisive labels at every turn. You got white nationalist, white supremacist. You got haters. You got counter-protesters. What's a counter-protester? The answer is it's a way to label the white supremacist as a Nazi, as a KKK, ratcheting up that hate against the core of America, the godly heritage of America. It's not a white supremacist idea that the founders had at all. But it is a godly heritage where all men and women all the sons and daughters of God can worship their God and can learn to follow the Prince of Peace. All right, now the problem with all these labels are that they're designed to manipulate. For example, when you say counter-protesters, this is a whole lump of vague people that you know nothing about. You don't know their origins. It's intentionally buried by the media and that label. White, whatever the word they add to that white term, nationalist, supremacist, they merge all that together into creating an enemy, a boogeyman. So you got the protected class and the boogeyman class now. See the divisions? It's all about the blame game, though, because you know what? Once you create these labels, if you accept these labels and if you use them, you unwittingly fall into their absolute narrative. It's impossible not to. The second you use the term white, well, you've picked sides, unless you're going to put a derogatory term behind it. You're forced to pick sides by the author of force, Satan himself. The second I use the term white, I either put a nice term behind it, and I'm, quote, part of whatever evil term is most associated with it, or I put the negative term and force my choice, right? Counter-protesters. If I use that term, I'm intentionally, vaguely covering up who these people really are with this vague idea that they're, well, the people that aren't extremists, supremacists, they're everybody else, the good guys, right? That's the narrative taught. And the second you use those, every story I've read from the media, every single one of them, even the stories that I might agree with, those folks that are getting at the truth, they fall for these terms. They use the term white. They use the term counter-protesters. Okay, what we're involved in here, folks, is the blame game, and it's got to stop. Understand that in this war, this eternally waged war, there are people that will jump under any banner they need to facilitate their divide-and-conquer tactic. They will join whatever group and become the extreme element within that group. They will get egg on the face of whatever group they're part of, and then they'll pretend they weren't part of that group. They'll take cover. Or they might even take the blame for that group. But the blame game has got to stop. What word am I speaking of where these people literally jump to any banner they need to promote their divisive attempt? That is agitators. You've got agitators in every group that jump to the cause, then act and think and speak in the extreme, and they've led their whole group, in my personal opinion, to the slaughter. Okay? They then talk of hate. And they say it's love versus hate. Well, it is. But it's kind of like the United States government's plan lately, which is peace is war. I mean, war is peace. I mean, you don't really know, do you? And that's what they want you to do. They want you to be so confused on the terms, on the labels, on the phrases, on who is who, to where, man, you're part of this group, that group. And before you know it, there's so many groups you don't even know which way is up. But if you understand that the battle lines are drawn between God and Satan, and we're in the middle, and I submit to you, whose side will you enlisteth to be on? I submit to you that who's on the Lord's side, who? As for me and my house, we will do our best to serve the Lord. And by the way, I'm not saying that I'm above all this. I've probably fallen into the trap as well. We need to discuss First Amendment rights. I agree. But what everybody wants to do is they want to talk about rights, and nobody wants to speak about responsibility. Everyone wants to tell you they have the right to free speech, but does that free speech right come with a responsibility? I submit to you that it does. And I want to apply this logic, this epic eternal war, and our leader in that war, that is Jesus Christ himself, the Prince of Peace. I want to use that as our go-to, if you will. That as our guideline. In other words, that is our, should I say general? Master? As the solution and the way to discuss every one of these battles. I don't care if we're talking about World War I, World War II, Vietnam, whether we're talking about, you know, Randy Weaver, whether we're talking about Ammon Bundy, whether we're talking about this latest skirmish in Charlottesville, Virginia. We can follow these Prince of Peace ideas, and if we do so, we will continue to win. I submit to you, there's a war waged in heaven, but we are winning as this war continues. But there must be commitment. There must be devotion. We are engaged in a great eternal struggle for the hearts and minds and souls of the sons and daughters of God. I submit to you that we are not losing, though we are winning. All right? But I submit to you that rather than the labels they're using, rather than the everybody doubling down on their cause is just and their right, let's talk about who's right. Let's take it out of the political meltdown divide realm and bring it back to the unite realm. Okay? Do you want to unite the right? Who's the right? What's the right? The right, I submit to you, is not left or right. It is right as in correct. Correct meaning truth, as opposed to the opposite in this eternal struggle, error. What is right? Well, I submit to you that if you want to answer who is right, it's Jesus Christ. What is right? The principles that he taught. The commandments, the Ten Commandments. All right? We're talking about love and respect. Who in the media, who in this epic battle of all sides is leading with love and respect, with loyalty and fidelity, with obedience to God's laws and integrity in doing so? Okay, I submit to you that we are winning. The future never looked brighter. You say, why is that, Sam? You're crazy. Because when you bring yourself above the fray and look at the big, godly, Christian worldview, it starts before this world began and it ends after this world began. In fact, it has no end. And the battle lines are drawn. The war is eternal. But I'm telling you that Jesus Christ wins. And if we're on his side, we win. Let's come back. Let's talk about the words we ought to be using and solutions, shall we?
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
And Liberty Roundtable Live continues. Sam Bushman. My monologue continues. The war that was waged in heaven continues. And the best part, we are indeed winning. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the future never looked brighter either. May we be faithful. May we be valiant. May we have the courage to be true to God, who has put trust in each of us. And may we battle for the hearts and minds and souls of the sons and daughters of God. May we recognize our godly heritage. May we be unafraid. All right? Now, I submit to you that Satan's engaged in this huge problem, Operation Divide and Destroy. His goal to divide and conquer all of us. Satan-backed focus on division seems to be everywhere. The goal is to separate us from our history and our godly heritage. All right? They use all kinds of words to frame the argument. And the second you start using their words, it doesn't matter what word you use, you're in their narrative. Because the words are uniquely wordsmithed or chosen to force that narrative. All right? Even if you use the word counter-protester, you've fallen into their trap. They're protecting a whole group of people that once exposed, if they were exposed, we could know the truth of who they are, and Americans would jettison their cause in a second. White. Again, if you use that label, the second you use white, they're going to wait and see what word you use after it. If it's a defensive term or a protective term, then you're an enemy. You're part of the problem. You're part of the group that's been targeted. If you say something evil after the quote white term, then you fall into their narrative. There's no way to step out of the narrative if you use the race card. That's where they want you to be. That's where they want the discussion. And that's why, even though some people may be right, they may be correct, they may be trying to rise up in righteous indignation, but they've already fallen for the trap. They're already helping the narrative of divisiveness and divide and conquer grow. All right, so let's just take Charlottesville for a quick example. There was a safety plan in place, but the Charlottesville government backed out at the last minute. Charlottesville literally violated the court's order for a peaceful rally. Due to the police not maintaining order, people were hurt. The media is not even showing who instigated the violence. And the reason they're not is because they have a Trump card, which means that one of the extremists, one of the activists, set the stage for it to be very easy to paint a picture. Do you see how we're falling into the trap at every turn, every move we make? That's why we need to take a step back. We need to be very careful the words we use, and we need to focus on the real issue, the cause, not the effect, the real problem, and then back into the discussions of the solutions. Next hour, we're going to talk about the specific case relating to what happened this weekend. James Edwards of the PoliticalCesspool.org radio program will be our star guest / co-host. Kurt Crosby will be with me and weigh in on my first hour and what they think of my point. We want to talk about solutions, folks. I submit to you that repentance, forgiveness, and prayer are three grand keys to success. Secondly, understanding that family is the fundamental unit of society is a key to the success as well. You say, why? Because societies are man-made, folks. Families are God-ordained. Society is nothing but a group of families together in cooperation for safety and peace and stability and the protection of life, liberty, and property, right? That's all society is, or a group of people, or a community, or whatever word you want to use for it, right? The fundamental unit of society is the family. So if you want solutions, you don't need to just create these groups to battle. What you need to do is stand back and look at God's law, God's way, And God put people in families for a reason. And every bit of these battles, every one of these epic showdowns really relates to ignoring the fundamental cause and the fundamental solution. The cause is Satan wants to destroy everybody and everything in his wake. Jesus Christ set forth the family, the fundamental unit of society, to bring people together, to provide safety and stability and morality and fidelity and honor and integrity, right? Fidelity, right? Those are the words that we need to be talking about. We need to point to the answer. The answer is for families to get together and to stand peacefully for the solutions. And I mentioned this rights and responsibility discussion. I agree we have rights, and rights are violated at every turn. There's no doubt about that debate. But if you don't focus on the responsibility that goes hand in hand with rights, rights are the right hand, responsibility is the counter left hand. They go together. You can't have rights without appropriate responsibility. And what we oftentimes do is divorce rights and responsibility. We act like we have rights and no responsibility. Responsibility for the things we say. Responsibility for the things that we do. And we need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, is I think how the Bible frames it for us. We need to agree with thine adversary quickly while in the way with him. Not because we exactly agree, but because we can learn. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Think of the guidance that we're getting from these simple biblical phrases articulated by the Prince of Peace and his true prophets of God, followers of the Prince of Peace. We see the example from the Savior Jesus Christ that I pointed out. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Literally in the Garden of Gethsemane, bleeding from every pore, and an eternal sacrifice for all of God's children. And then the followers of Jesus Christ, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Pray with thine adversary, or pray for thine adversary. Pray for those who persecute you and harm you. When they ask for your cloak, give them your coat as well. Or when they ask for your coat, give them your cloak as well. Maybe I'm butchering this, but you get the point, right? And the point is that, you know what? When are we told to ratchet up the hatred, to run around with the blame game? When are we told to use divisive labels? When are we used or told to become an agitator? What about the First Amendment rights? Do we have them? Yes, we do. But when does free speech cross the line, and when are we falling into the trap unintentionally? Because our cause may be just, but yet the venue, the circumstance is not right. Okay, I submit to you that God gives us warnings for the followers of Christ. And I submit to you that they knew before this last weekend that it was going to turn to violence. Everybody knew it. And everybody went anyway. You would say, well, Sam, we've got to stand up for our cause. What are you suggesting we do? Put our tail between our legs and back away and go home and not fight for right? No, I'm not suggesting that at all. But I am suggesting to go into the lion's den, or to literally go into a situation where you know that it's going to go wrong and you know that it's not going to go well, is not a smart move. Ammon Bundy did that when he took over the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. I knew enough to go home. Some called me a wimp. Some said I didn't have the stomach for the fight. That's just Satan's way of dragging me into it. I will not fall for it. I submit to you that we need to teach the principles of liberty. I submit to you that with rights come responsibility, and actions have consequences. And you need to weigh your actions and the consequences that follow those actions as you decide what to do. And the question becomes, when are you making matters worse in your defense of rights? And when are you actually helping the cause? That's the responsibility side. The mature realization that what I do matters. What I say matters. And when am I going to make sure that what I do and say leads to a better world not a worse one, to a true uniting behind principles that have eternal wings versus when am I unintentionally falling for Satan's trap, Satan's operation, Satan's evil design, operation divide and destroy. When am I falling for that, even if I don't mean to? When am I trying to be right, but I'm sacrificing on the altar of this divide and conquer plan, even though I didn't mean to, I didn't realize, I didn't intend? It's going to take a lot of humility to realize what I'm pointing out and to accept it and to say, you know what? When in the name of righteousness do we carry out a plan and then say, hey, I stood for right, I'm not responsible for or involved in or going to accept responsibility for what happens after? See, all sides go into this epic battle knew that it was going to come to violence. We know from the pattern set many times that the government is on the side, often, of satanic labels to divide and conquer. We know that there are wicked men in our midst. Some work for government, some work for organizations who are the extremist group who literally take this division to heart. That's their mantra. That's their goal. Their goal to separate us from our history and our godly heritage. Okay? When do we have these hate-filled agitators in every group? How do we let them set the narrative? Because we ignore responsibility when we talk about our rights. Because we are not wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Because we don't use a soft answer to turn it the way of wrath. Because we don't agree with thine adversary while on the way with him. Because we don't take to heart the Prince of Peace who taught, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And who literally gave his life for what matters most. He rose again and said, come follow me. The question that I have is, will we do it? And if so, how will we go about it? I submit to you that family is the organization God has selected to take center stage. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com.